Alan, it's that time once again.
6:30 p.m.?
You're a little off. But no.
Dinner
it's
time?
It's time to settle this again. It's funny how often we have to settle this. But
it's time to settle this for the first, last, and probably not final time.
But you know, the last two times we've settled this, I feel like we've done a bad job, and you know why?
Why is that?
Because we tainted the process by being involved.
We need to remove the human element.
We need a better human. We need a more perfect human to come in and run this challenge for us.
Me!
Kat.
It's me.
Can you please run a little challenge for us so we can determine ultimately who is better as a human being and person and personality and basically everything, every element of our lives.
Oh yeah, that's what I was born to do.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, I'm no pressure. I'm ready to go right now. Let's do it.
Should I just start rattling them off?
Well, okay. So here's how I think we should do this.
Okay.
We are on Discord right now with you.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are going to do is we are both going to, you're going to ask a trivia question.
Okay.
And we are each going to direct message you our answers, and then we'll say them out loud. We're direct messaging them to you so that you know we're not changing our answers.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds like a good plan. Yes.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Should I just start off with the first question?
Sure.
All right. First question. All of these questions are on brand for me. What year was the earliest known surviving photograph taken in a camera created? I had to phrase it like that for technicality, but basically, when was the oldest photograph that is still around? When was that taken?
Are we doing, like, closest without going over?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Taken by a camera, though. So, like, that picture of Lincoln, that, like, do daguerreotypes count?
Yes.
Okay. And we can't Google this?
No Googles.
Okay, then. Here we go.
Okay, I had no idea, so I typed 1816.
Oh, no!
All right.
I typed 1812!
Oh, my God.
Please. So,
closest without going over.
Closest without going over is 6.
Shit!
Because it is 1826. Taken in the Burgundy region of France. It is called The Window of Le Gras, taken by Joseph Nessefor Nepis.
Wow. I was like, man, I gotta use those Price is Right rules. I gotta really lowball it. I guess I actually didn't lowball it by that much.
Nope.
Oh, I've seen this photo. That's the one that looks like the Star Destroyer.
Yeah. It's very old. So, next question. What is the animal, the okapi, the closest relation, relative to?
Okay. All right, Alan, what'd you put down? I think we're probably both wrong.
I put capybara.
I put squirrel.
I think Alan is technically closer. The
it's
okapi
like
is
giraffe.
Correct. It's the only other animal in the Giraffidae, of the Giraffidae family, which is made up of giraffes and okapis. They're like a small giraffe that has a zebra stripe on its butt.
And so you rule that Alan was closer in this.
I guess, but none of you are right.
I mean, like, I think neither is also a valid answer.
I think probably neither.
Okay.
On that one.
All right. So that's a neither.
A neither.
Well, all right. This is fine.
Third question. In what year was Studio Ghibli founded?
Oh, I know this one.
Me too.
Yeah!
I'm going to say 1969.
I had already typed mine, but now I'm uncomfortable. I said 1964.
So, I have that it was founded on June 15th, 1985.
Yes. I was kind of off by a lot, huh?
Wait, who? How?
Founded in June 15th, 1985. The studio is headed by directors Hayao Miyazaki and Isao Takahata.
So who put out,
prior
who put,
to the formation of the studio, they did work in film and television, but that was not under Ghibli.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. I was like, who did the Lupin movie that I like?
All right, Judge, how do you rule?
I don't. I guess who's closer? Alan,
oh,
I
Alan
think.
Alan was definitely closer, yeah.
So, yeah, so you didn't go over, so yeah, Alan.
Yay!
Next question. What are the four primary beer ingredients?
Ooh. Fuck.
Oh, four. Shit, I'm missing one.
I was gonna ask, is this like a multi-point Ruby question?
Right.
I guess whoever gets the most and is closest, I suppose.
I think I got one of those like way wrong. Like one of those I don't feel even a little bit confident about.
I like Alan. I like how you typed that one in all caps.
Can I start reading mine?
Yeah.
Sure.
Obviously hops. That's like, we know that. I played RuneScape.
Hell yeah.
Alcohol.
Oh, Alan.
It's foolish. I made a foolish decision, so I'm gonna get three of four. Cause yeast, I know, cause it's bread, and then I guess water because it's liquid.
Okay, so Alan, you got three out of four.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I guessed hops, water, sugar, and yeast.
All right. Well, I guess you both tie because shit. you missed the other ingredient, which is grain.
Fuck.
So
I thought hops were grain.
Nope. It's different. Oh.
Okay, well, I feel like sugar, or which one? Yeah, sugar. I feel like sugar is closer than alcohol because it fundamentally misunderstands the process.
sugar is almost... Is sugar a grain? No, sugar's not a grain, so I can't give you a technicality on that one, mm-hmm. But I think you both tied.
Okay. So, is it a neither or is it a both?
I would say, I think you both got it.
Okay.
I would say. Yeah, so the grain is like malted barley and sometimes other stuff.
Right.
And the hops is another thing.
Kiss me under the malted barley.
The barley. All right. Next question. Question number five. What is Bluetooth named after?
Oh. I'm real. These are just things I should know.
Oh. Metal Gear. I love Alan's answer.
I feel like I remember it being like a old Scandinavian king or something like that.
But mine's vague. I said it's a European. It's an old European thing.
Jesus, Alan.
I know it's European. That's all I know.
The name Bluetooth is an angelicized version of the Scandinavian Balatablatan epithet of the 10th century king Harald Bluetooth.
Hell yeah.
Who Nailed united it. The dissonant Danish tribes into a single kingdom.
And, according Nailed to legend, to also introduced Christianity.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, listen, we're not all great. We try that.
So, yeah, I think six gets that one.
Brick!
Woo-woo.
Freaking frack! All right, number six. There are two answers that are acceptable for this. Where is the original hairless sphinx house cat originally from?
Well.
You got yours, Alan?
Yeah, I put down Egypt.
I said TV.
All right, you were both wrong.
Nice.
There are the two current sphinx breeds are from Minnesota and Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Right, but, like, have they ever been on TV?
I mean, yes? I was thinking, like, more, like, the where the breed originates from.
Listen, I was trying to win. It's fine.
I was trying to win. But, yeah, basically, it's, like, a genetic defect, and this cat breed's only been around since the 1970s.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so it's 3-2 right now in my favor as we go into question seven.
All right.
I like these odds.
All right. Number seven is also, there are two acceptable answers. What was the first survival horror game?
Oh, that's for six. That's a point for six. da-da.
Hmm. I feel like my answer isn't early enough, but...
Think early.
Oh, no, I know this. Actually, I totally know this. Yeah. That, yeah. I was like...
Okay, I said Alone in the Dark, but I think that's not...
I also like, said I'm... Alone in the Dark.
So, oh. Alone in the Dark is the first mainstream one, but the first one was this Japanese one called Nostromo. And then one before that was an Atari 2600 game called Haunted House.
Okay, I never heard of that
one. Oh, I played Haunted House, this one with the eyes. I didn't know that's considered a survival horror game.
Sorry,
well,
maybe.
I think that's a neither for...
Sorry if my questions are too hard.
No, they're good.
Listen, we need to lose some. We need to, listen, the show is all about, like,
failure.
How great I am, and also Alan's here. But sometimes I need to have my reputation checked a little.
All right.
How many questions are there?
10?
10.
Okay, I'm going to win this. I got this.
All right. This one is about my home state. Yeah. What are the main exports of Iowa?
How many answers are there?
I put 3 on here. There's like 5, but I guess just close. I'll just do it kind of like the beer one, I guess. Whoever is closest.
I can't play to the judge. That's going to be like... Exports of Iowa. Cat.
Oh, well, okay, and now I know not to put that down. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome.
For the tip.
Mm.
I have mine in. I can read mine.
All right. Paper.
You good?
I need one more. Hold on.
I just, like, choked on my water.
I think this is going to be another neither.
No, it can't be. It's impossible. Oh, actually, yeah. Yep. Mine are potatoes, sausages, mm-hmm. and corn.
All right, so Alan got 1.
Yeah, he did. Is it potatoes?
Okay. I said potatoes, carrots, sadness.
All right, Alan won this one.
What?
Yep.
Sadness. You guys are really depressed.
Actually, I was, like, rated number one place to live right now.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So the main exports of Iowa are, we are the largest ranked exporter of soybeans, pork, and corn.
Oh, I said sausages, I should have just said pork in general.
I know.
Frick. Mm. Hey, but corn.
I mean, you got it anyway.
Yeah, very farmy. Alright, so Alan got that one.
Hell yeah.
Alright.
3 right now?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Alright, what art piece has sold the highest amount at auction? I will accept the artist.
Oh, I've known this. I knew this at one point. Can I say mine?
Sure.
You said the artist is allowed?
Yeah.
It's a Da Vinci, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was my same guess.
Fuck. Yes, you were both correct. It is. All right. It just sold, like, last year. So it's a Leonardo da Vinci. Salvatore Mundi, Savior of the World, was bought for $450 million.
Okay, well, I mean, that makes it 4-4 going into the last question.
Oh, no.
All right. Another shout out for myself. What does ISO stand for in photography? That is your last question.
So what do we do if we... Hi.
I don't know. I guess I'll think of a tiebreaker question.
Okay.
I fucking got it right. I'm so right.
You're so right.
So I went with inter-shutter operation, which is nothing.
Oh, fuck,
nonsense.
You might have something. Mm. I said
what did you say?
I said image sensitivity, obviously.
Obviously. So that one was kind of tricky, actually. It actually stands for the International Standards Organization.
Whoa,
it
is what?
A standardized industry scale for measuring sensitivity to light.
Oh.
Because they use it for film, and now they use it for, like, digital sensors and stuff. So that one was a little tricky. Okay, let me think of
here's a proposal, Kat.
Yes.
We're big fans of settling us by the most simple, stupid means possible.
Okay.
On the show. What if you were to flip a coin?
Okay.
Alan?
Do I have a coin?
Which side would you prefer?
You got a coin?
Heads all day, baby.
That's perfect, because I'm a tails kind of person.
Miles, tails.
Miles,
sick.
Tails.
I think I just won. I don't think we need to flip the coin. I had the cooler reference.
Miles, tails, Detmar.
I'm looking.
Oh, I'm going to call you that on the podcast from now on. You're now Miles, right. Tails, Detmar.
All right. We're flipping the coin?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. It is. Heads.
Yes, it is.
Shit.
Yes, it is.
How do you win three? How do you win three?
Because I am a god.
I am a god.
Get the hell off my damn croissants. So six.
I was closer on that photo one.
You were.
Here's the thing.
You don't have anything ready.
I don't have anything ready? No, of course I don't have anything ready. Of course not.
You never do.
All right, called out. While I think of something, can I also say something? Can I claim my garnet right now?
Yeah, you can claim your garnets.
I know
we'll figure out how many it is.
Okay, yep. Do some points while I think of a thing for you.
Wait, so Six has to watch a piece of media now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or general experience a piece of media.
Experience.
Could be read, could be play.
I could be like, you have to go take a yoga class for a year.
No, well, we do have a 30-minute minimum.
That's true.
So I could tap out after 30 minutes.
Right. Six, for this episode, since I won and I claimed my garnet, I'm going to have you play 30 minutes of Second Life, the video game.
Is it a video game?
Theoretically.
It's
I'm gonna,
experience.
I'll do you a solid. I'll play it with you, though.
Okay. I appreciate that because this is going to be strange.
We'll set a timer and everything so we don't have to stay longer, but inevitably we'll get way into it and dump hundreds of hours. It'll be so fun.
Uh-huh. It'll be great. Thanks so much for being our quiz master here, Kat, and also flipping
anytime.
A coin for us.
Haha.
Because it turns out we could have just flipped the coin, and that's really all that mattered.
That's the whole game.
Yep.
Where can people find you on the online?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, no. You can find me at my Twitter handle currently, which is at CobwebLike, and you can find my website, which is KatNissen.com, and Qualia Gaming is still not up yet, but if you check out my Twitter, you can check out that. So, yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. Hell yeah.
Thanks, right. Guys.
Peace.
Bye.
The Garnet Wager is a game where two players compete in challenges while watching episodes of The Genius. Challenges occur once per podcast, and the winner receives a quantity of garnets, depending on the challenge, and can assign media homework for that episode. The loser must report back on that media at the end of the episode. If they liked it, the winner receives an additional garnet. Garnets may also be wagered in various bets, according to the whims of the players. Garnets are not obtained automatically. When you successfully win a garnet, you have 5 minutes to claim that garnet or becomes available for your opponent to claim. The first person to say Jin-Ho after 5 minutes have elapsed receives the garnet, so long as they inform their opponent of the acquisition at the end of the episode. This is the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Back to another episode of the Garnet Wager. We're here to talk about another episode of The Genius, episode 3, Abundance and Famine. Alan,
hello.
Did this episode leave you hungry?
It left me hungry for more, definitely.
I just meant because they talk about bread a lot.
I want to watch a whole show about bread, just like a bread anime. They should make that.
I think there actually is a show that is entirely about bread. I don't think it's an anime. I think it's like a Japanese show where they just go around and like talk to bakers and show people baking bread.
Oh, it's like How It's Made, but just for bread?
Pretty much. It's supposed to be like sort of zen and relaxing, I think.
Oh, I love it. Have you ever seen Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
I haven't, no.
Oh, it's very good and very relaxing, speaking of that. And also, speaking of being hungry for more, I'm going to go ahead and just hit this button here that says claim garnets.
Oh. You sure? Yeah. I mean, listen, if you wanted to not, like, you could get away with that, right?
I totally could, but, like, it's a shiny red button, and it says claim garnets on it. I just hit it.
Okay, well, that means you get 8 garnets, and I'm going to go ahead and claim mine, and I got 6, so.
Hey, it's your name.
I did, yeah, I planned it. That's me definitely planning to lose the challenge. It was a plan.
You're the Sungyu of the game, basically. I plan to do that. I obviously plan to do that. This fucking guy.
He's so good. All right, so we get to open up with another, like, everybody's filing in. Everybody's talking about sort of how things are going. I want to point out, we talked last time about the music and it being, like, clearly, like, some Cowboy Bebop-ass music. And so, first off, we got a new song this time from episode 4 of Cowboy Bebop Gateway Shuffle. There's a track that happens that I recall the exact moment. There's like the big, you know, climactic sequence of that episode. This music is from that. But we've actually got an explanation. Because we got a message from listener Dre, who says that basically the company producing the Genius is an affiliate with another company. And this other company owns rights for a whole ton of music, including Cowboy Bebop stuff. So they just licensed it out for very cheap.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Yeah.
3 episodes in the making, we finally understood the mystery of the licensed music.
We got there in the end. So, it starts off, and all the women arrive first this time, and they start talking about how problematic all the men are, which is a big mood.
All these dudes suck. They all just make teams and lie to each other, and they lie to us, and they're terrible men.
Like, okay, well, let's be clear. Let's be clear. I said all of them. I was exaggerating a bit. Mostly they're complaining about Gura, Pung, and Songmin.
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, Gura is the, you know, manipulative evil mastermind, and Pung and Songmin are clearly his lieutenants, and they're just manipulative and they're bad, right?
Right.
And then so Pung and Songmin, of course, come in right as they're talking about this. And they do an admirable job of covering up the fact that they were just talking about them, right?
Right.
Both in that, like, one, they don't get flustered, and then they're just sort of like, you know, we're talking about how you guys are just his fucking puppets, and they're just like, oh, what? excuse me. But then Songmin pulls out his fucking paper contract from last time and is like, I'm just can I get my garnets real quick? Just let's not forget about that, right? And then everybody else is like, oh, actually, I should get a garnet too. And Songmin's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you have a contract? Get in line.
I think someone asks him when he pulls it out, they're like, are you? First of all, how long have you been doing this? Second of all, what are you, some sort of like economic advisor or something? Like, they know that this is just nonsense.
Listen, it's very practical. I would, you know.
You'd be the type of person in this game to pull out the paper contract, like, episode 1.
I super would, and then I would forget that I had it.
You'd lose it in your other jeans.
Pretty much. Put it through the wash.
Your bestie, speaking of clothes, spends the beginning of this episode, the whole episode, in this, like, weird spandex outfit.
He's got a slick black look. He's got a let's call it a sharp black little number, right?
He's got a good look. I guess we can call it that.
No glasses this week, by the way. This is one of the weeks where he's going glassless. He's going with the contacts. But he's got a good sharp. He looks very much like the evil lieutenant this week, except for he's smiling all the time because he's the best.
And they point out, they're like, "What are you wearing?" That's why I thought it was funny, because I was like, "Oh, maybe this is just a fashion thing I don't know." But then everyone else is like, "Why are you dressed like that?" And he's like, "I don't know." His looks good.
damn right. And then Jinho comes in, and they're like, oh, look, it's Jinho. And Jinho's like, listen, everybody, I'm back to my roots. I'm not going to trust anybody this week. It's like, yeah, okay, buddy, sure.
Good luck with that. That's going to happen for sure. 5 minutes later. Trust me, yeah. Jinho. All right.
Yeah, and then you know, Minsu, Teacher Cha comes in, and he's got that big grin, and he's still pissed about last week. Just that big smile on his face, and he's still mad, and you're like, Jesus, this guy's really ticked off.
Eternally salty, yes. That's, again, relatable.
Yeah, and so finally, the last bits of this whole intro sequence, we have everybody, like, basically everybody turning and kind of grilling Songmin and Pung about being, like, Gura's, like, you know, Gura's puppets, and really, Kyungran fucking goes in, right?
Hell yeah.
And Songmin's like, listen, I'm just living in the moment. I just want to enjoy this, right? And Kyungran's like, why don't you try being a symbol of justice today? And Songmin goes, It's so good. Just like, I don't know about that.
And at this point, the music is building up, and then it ends, like, the line before they cut to the theme song is him going, I want to do my best.
Yeah. Oh, what a good boy. What a good boy.
And then, so I like paused around here to go eat dinner. I come back and we get this like very reminiscent of Western reality television scene where it's like 3 hours later. And then Kyungran is just weeping, just crying her eyes out and being like, I didn't know this was going to happen. Like, I can't believe this. I didn't expect to be crying right now. Please cut the tape. And I'm like, don't. Like, this works because it's making me want to know why. But clearly, it's just manipulative because they're like, oh, you should be sad because she's going to, maybe it's her being eliminated and she's like sad about it. It's not. It's quite the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even put it in my notes, and it's because I was, honestly, because I'm giving them a pass. Because if I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to say, this sucks.
Right.
It's a bummer that they did that. I like every step of the way that they decide to, like, duck away from what Western reality does, I am basically always happy. And this was a bummer. Because also, like, yeah, like, the moment when you actually get to what this is actually kind of sweet and nice.
Yeah, the whole end of this episode, when everyone realizes, like, we're allowed to kind of lightly jump around, right? That's fine.
Sure, yeah.
Just when they realize that Teacher Cha is going home, and then they're all like, oh, like, somebody had to go. That's the way this game works. Mm-hmm. But of all the people to go, like, he was, like, for them, the nice dad that helped everybody out. And that's, like, heartbreaking for her. And, it's a very emotional ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it really feels cheap to toy with it like this. Like, I don't know, like, when, you know, I have seen, like, The Bachelor, right?
Yeah.
And, like, they'll do that shit where it's like, later this episode, somebody goes to the hospital. Wow. And then, like, you get to that part of the episode, and it's like, they ran out of gas, so they stopped by the hospital for directions.
Exactly.
And you're like, you fucking assholes. And it's like, this is actually something. You're not even blowing up a thing that's actually nothing. You're just doing it in a manipulative, shitty way that would have been way better if we just experienced it.
Totally. That's a very good way of putting it.
So. So we get a quick Garnet, you know, scoreboard check-in. And much like in our show here, the Garnet Wager, the best boy is leading the Garnet scoreboard. Sangmin is in the lead for Garnets. So, good for him. He's leading the Garnets in my heart as well. My heart gives out Garnets now.
Oh, that's nice of your heart.
Well, you know, I gotta give them to somebody because you ain't winning them. Ho!
Oh my god, that's not even true.
No, it's actually not. Actually, spoilers for the end of this episode. I owe you 4 Garnets because you got your bet right.
Yeah, I did. That was amazing. I had a 1 in 11 chance and I fucking got it right. And I didn't even... I've done my best to not look anything up about this show. I don't know who wins. I don't know who gets eliminated week to week. I don't know anything about the games that are coming up. And then something like that happens. The first time we finally make a garnet wager and I got it right, it's like, oh my god, this is the best.
And that's excellent. That's excellent.
That feeling that I had when I got it right made me... I was like... It's sort of like the feeling of the characters on the show. It's like, oh my god, the alliance worked. Like, everything's falling into place. This is so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So Kyungran did end up winning. And it's like, I mean, on the one, like, absolutely props to you for guessing that. But also, I don't think it's quite 1 in 11 odds because, like, Kyungran's smart as fuck.
Incredibly intelligent, yes.
My girl's real good. Not my girl, your girl, excuse me. I got Songmin.
She's
I shouldn't
the world's
claim everybody.
Girl. No one,
I can't,
no one
but I can't claim everyone. That's unfair.
I mean, it seems like I have a lot of backing behind Kyungran and you have a lot of backing behind Songmin, but, like, we all want everyone to do well. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone's, at least now that we have, what, 10 left, everyone's interesting. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a cool personality and a good stake in the game.
Actually, there's a good personality moment I should mention real quick before we get into it, which is Jungmoon is sort of standing there and everyone's talking, and she's like, I had a dream about coming and playing the genius, and it was exhausting.
It's like, and it's exhausting, buddy. Yeah, right. That's the part.
Yep. So our main match is Abundance and Famine. And I'll go break down the rules real quick. So there are two countries, Abundance and Famine. Every turn, Abundance will have 6 bread, and Famine will have 3. Players pick where to go each turn, and bread is spread evenly among people there. Any bread that's left over is gone. So let's say you send 4 people to Abundance. Everyone gets 1, because that's 4, and then the 2 left over just disappear. However, if 3 people were to go, everybody would get 2. So they're never unfair with the bread dividing. And if there isn't enough for everyone, nobody gets anything. So obviously there's a problem because there are technically 9 pieces of bread available every turn, but there are 11 people left in the show. So there's going to be some conflict there.
Naturally.
Every turn it will be revealed how many people went to each country at the end. So you know, like, so you're like, okay, I went to Abundance and 5 people went to Abundance. I know that I got 1 piece of bread. There are 5 rounds. Most bread wins, least bread loses. If there's a tie for last, winner will pick the loser. You buy tickets every round at a counter. The counter is available for 15 minutes. You can only enter the booth once per round for 30 seconds, and you can spend your tickets however you like. However, tickets are only good for the round you bought them in. You also get 1 garnet for every 3 bread that you have.
That's the point where I usually thought this game wasn't that complicated to understand. It has the most caveats probably so far, because, you know, we learned quickly, like, you can obviously buy bread or buy tickets with garnets, and also you can just not buy, or you can lie about going in and buying tickets and not buy anything. Like, there's a lot of ways to fuck each other over that are really fun, but they don't complicate things to the point where I didn't know what was going on. It was during the DM actually that I got very confused, but that's because this is not a show made for us. This is a show made for people watching it in Korea, and so it's like, oh, they're gonna play a Korean board game that people should just know how to play and they don't need to explain it. So I don't know if I talked about this last week, but what I really like about the games lately is that they always have this like interesting connection to what the theming of them is. So, for example, like last week was the election game, and all of the mechanics of like how you can form alliances and help each other are reminiscent of, it's like a pretty basic critique of like modern politics, where it's like, oh, really, you can just buy your way to everything and you can win by knowing the right people. And then this one's sort of like an economics game where it's like, you could give everybody a garnet. Everybody could just win today. There doesn't have to be a loser. But it's more fun if we steal everything and they get nothing. You know, again, like economic critique in a way, capitalism critiques.
The way it plays out is the biggest critique of capitalism, because the way it plays out just kind of sucks for everybody.
Right. And everybody loses.
Yeah. Nobody has a good time. Everybody's talking about their various strategies, and like, there's a strat like that's like, okay, how about we do this? Like, there are 2 different strats that are like, how about everybody gets 3 garnets? And then there's a winner, but like, how about everybody just gets 3 garnets? And like, no, nobody gets anything. It's like, guys.
If you just worked together.
And so immediately, like, there's, I'm going to call out Teacher Cha here real quick. Cause he does it again where it's like, okay, I have it figured out. It's very simple. There are 11 of us and 9 pieces of bread. So there's a problem. It's like, thanks. Wow. Thanks, Teacher Cha. How could we have ever gotten there without you?
Thanks, bud. Like, you finally figured it out. I did May Basic Edition.
Yeah, I'm, you know, in honor of his departure from this episode, I like Teacher Cha a lot. But if he comes up again, I'm going to call him Exposition Cha. He has earned it. He just explains things for you, which is nice of him, but also, like, come on, man, this isn't any great insight.
because the show already explains so much of its stuff. It's like, here's the game described by the like announcer. Then one of the players is going to describe it, and then they're going to kind of like ease you into it. Like, it doesn't want you to be confused. I just get confused because I have a terrible attention span. But then, yeah, you get like Teacher Cha just being like, all right, but guys, here's really how it works. And you're like, I can figure this out. It's more fun for me to stop. That's why it's weird that like there's so much respect for him, obviously, because he's older and because he does actually seem to want to help people. But he's
also because he is really smart.
Yes. He also just tells everyone everything, though, which is like kind of it's like using up episode time often.
Well, I feel like part of it is like they want to really solidly establish a fundamental of like, here is the game. Here are the rules. Here are the problems, right?
Yeah.
They don't want there to be any question about that because they want you, like, if you're watching all the, like, the strategizing and the alliance forming and the scheming, and in the back of your mind, you're still trying to put together the rules of the game, you're not going to be able to focus.
You're going to be like, this was the moment where I had to literally pause the episode to start laughing. Sungyu is, like, in a room with a bunch of other people, and then Gura, like, talks to him because he's talking about alliances and stuff, and he's like, Sungyu, when they say the rules, do you like listen or do you just like not? You don't get any of that? And he's like, yeah, I'm not giving away any of my tickets. And they're like, you can't get, they never said you could give away tickets. Why did you think you could do that? This isn't that game anymore. Like, he's so me playing the game where he's like, no, guys, I get it. Fuck off. I get this. And they're like, do you know the basic rules? And he's like, No.
But listen.
I don't. Listen. I can't win. I'm just not going to be eliminated. And that way I'll get to the top, which is actually a solid strategy.
I like every episode, ever since I came up with that theory that Sungyu is playing dumb, it's just more and more he has to be playing dumb. This is unreal.
but again, I'm just going to not play too hard and just keep my basic alliances together is a very good strategy.
Oh, sure. No, I think it's very clever of him to be stupid. But, like, this has to be an act, right? Like,
yeah, I think it is at this point.
He got into the genius. They talk about how smart he is. And, like, he is basically always on the right side of history.
Right. You just have to be there.
Right. He always manages to, like, he's going to end up in the DM this time. And at the DM, like, you kind of see a different side of him where he's a little more intense and thoughtful. And it fucking works.
Yeah, no one, like, believes him when he's being intense and thoughtful in that moment. They're like, wait, he's, like, playing to win. What the hell? He knows what he's doing. And that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what they're building up to.
Yeah. So, Gura, Songmin, and Sungyu end up being the alliance to try and undermine the rest of the, basically everybody else, right? And then there's a question of where Pung is going to end up. Because Pung has been getting a lot of shit from both sides. Like, you know, Gura's like, come on, man, you know, round three, let's go, one last ride, let's do it. And then, like, everyone else is like, oh, there goes Gura's loyal dog again. And he's like, fucking God damn it. I'm just here to play the game, you guys.
Kyungran at one point compares all the those boys in that alliance to Sapsun dogs. She's like, oh, they're all very loyal and good to their master. It's like, shit.
Yeah, it's pretty savage.
Very savage.
And then, so Pung is the least trusted human around. And then Jin-ho says, Pung is one of my people now. I'm sure today. No, I'm really sure he's on my side. Like, Jin-ho, buddy, you just got done saying you're not going to trust anybody today. You just got said, I'm back to my roots, no trusting. And you're immediately ready to get screwed by Pung again.
Lord, forgive me, I'm back to the old me of trusting everyone. Just stop,
And throughout this episode, repeatedly, people are like, you really just can't trust Pung that much. And at one point, Jin-ho says, like, do I look that pathetic that I'd get screwed again? It's like, yes, dude.
Yes,
you do.
Utterly.
And, you know, meanwhile, we're getting all these, like, confessionals with Pung just, like, being the most sympathetic, like, the most sympathetic human, right? The most understandable human, where he's just like, I really just, everyone really is upset at me, and this feels really bad, and this is so uncomfortable. And I'm like, aw, I'm sorry, dude.
Aw. I've started to find, like, singular moments every week where I'm just like, yep, this is, if I cared enough to, like, post things online, this is where I would screen cap and like and say like big mood. So big mood of this week for me was when I think it was Songmin and Gura were talking about something, and then Gura basically, they have this alliance set up, and then Gura's like, don't tell Jinho about this. And Songmin's like, no, I just want to tell him. Like, we can just work together. And then he's like, no, please, like, for the love of God, none of this works if you start telling everyone everything. And then Songmin leans back in his chair, and the emoticon text, the emo text, just goes, I'm going crazy.
I was like, yep. Yeah, I think that was Pung, not Songmin.
Oh, that was Pung. Yeah. You're right. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Because it seems like, so, like, we're giving Jinho a bunch of shit for being so trusting of Pung, but it seems like he really doesn't want to screw Jinho this time.
He doesn't want to have to. But I think, yeah, go ahead.
There's a great, I hate picking out individual moments. I feel like I bog things down a little bit. But there's another classic best boy moment where, Yurum is going around like, oh no, like, oh, this is all bad. Oh, can, like, please, like, I don't know what to do. Please help me. And she turns and she says, please help me. And she says, oh, it's Songmin. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, he's here. No, I take back everything I said.
And then, you know, like, and then it's like, okay, like, Sungyu, come on. You can't trust Songmin. Come with us. And then the music starts to swell. And Songmin's like, you know, the life of an artist, the only way to survive is sincerity. It's really about trust and faith. Yeah. And I've been at that crossroads before. And it's like, oh, I love you so much.
And kiss you on the forehead. So is he just going to do that every week? He's just going to have his, like, bullshit posturing every single week?
I don't know. But I hope so.
You hope so,
It's the single greatest part of the show is Songmin being ridiculously melodramatic about, like, music and love and life. It's so good.
You and me, we're musicians. We're different types of people.
Right, right. Kind of, like, stuff. I know that pain. I've been through there. You know, in the 80s, I was, like, a pop star.
Like a pretty successful musician, yeah.
I mean, and it works. Sungyu's like, listen, Songmin's going to look after me. It's going to be okay.
Right.
As opposed to last time where he was like, Songmin's full of shit. 5% trust.
5%, yep. Never forget. 5% trust. I think that's most of what I have, though, for the pre-DM stuff.
Mm-hmm. I have a few other little things, which is like, just great individual moments. I mean, the thing we should say is like, this DM is good. Or this main match is good because it's not good.
How so?
And what I mean by that is, like, the majority alliance just sort of solves the game, and the game is just kind of over, and it plays out. Gura and his boys are not able to do anything about it.
Right, as soon as somebody realizes that we can block enemy points, it's just kind of, like, the planning phase is, like, 5 times longer than the actual playing phase, because they're like, yeah, this is, you're just going to watch us do... execute the plan that worked.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's good because, like, I think it makes for a slightly more boring episode in ways, because it's like, it's a bunch of just like, okay, we're just going through the motions of this game that's already over, right? Yeah. There's not a whole lot of conflict because it's kind of just settled. But that's also good because it's like, you know, it's a reality show. Like, sometimes you think things are staged, sometimes you don't know what to trust. If this was staged, this would have been a more dramatic episode.
That's a good point. Huh.
So... I really appreciate every now and then when it's like, oh no, this is incredibly real, because it's just like, no, we just solved it. It's like, oh, okay.
Great job all around.
Yeah, good work. Mm-hmm. So the two other moments I wanna fucking nail down. First off, Gura is sort of sitting there, you know, talking his big game about his strategy and how he's gonna ruin everything. And then Chung, like, he's talking to, I think, he's talking to Sungyu. And Gura's like, okay, and then every round they're going to go here and we're going to do this. And Sungyu's like, but they can sit out rounds if they want. And Gura's like, no, you can't.
They're like, they said we could.
And he's like, oh, and he just sort of leans back in his chair like, oh, you could sit rounds out.
He just like throws away all the paper. He's like, this is garbage. Just like,
it just blows his fucking mind. And then the other great moment, which I didn't put down in my notes, but it stood out to me, which is when they go to buy tickets and like, Chung Yup has been, like, roped, like, pressured really hard by Gura to be part of his team. And he's like, okay, like, go in and buy these tickets. And the other alliance is like, you cannot buy those tickets. And so every round, Chung Yup just goes into the booth and, like, walks in a circle and is like, I don't want to die, and then leaves.
It's so funny. He could have just walked in, like, breathed for a second and turned around, but he has to, like, get all anxious about it.
Like, at one point, he's like, I just need to seem busy. And he starts, like, going through the trash. He's like, what are you doing?
Or, like, bows at them and then just, like, makes, like, fake hand motions, like, hits taps his, like, elbow and stuff. And you're like, what are you doing? You're just, this is your time-killing move.
Ah, what a weirdo.
I love him.
Oh. Good boy.
He's
good
my
boy.
Second. If Kyungran gets eliminated, then he's my second.
Hmm.
Who
so
knows?
The two other... Oh, I should have the two other moments. I keep seeing things in my notes that I have to bring up. So Songmin and Gura keep saying over and over throughout this challenge, like, listen, you have this plan where everybody works together and then we have a winner and everybody gets garnets.
But somebody has to go home.
Right, like, that's kind of fucked up. It's kind of this, like, okay, let's everybody play nice, let's have no competition, and then let's arbitrarily pick someone to go to the DM. Like, it's better for us to compete because then someone will be going to the DM for a reason, rather than just us throwing someone under the bus. And I actually kind of agree with them.
Right, it's a much more... That was a very interesting line, because it was like, we can just... We don't have to... It's basically saying, like, we don't have to play the game, we can just make our own decision at the end of who to eliminate. But nobody wants to get eliminated, so it's in a way that's there's no way for that to be fair. In order
to make
a good,
way more screwed up.
To make a good show, to make like a and keep everybody on like respectful terms, you have to play the game and have somebody lose. That is the only way for this whole setup of the genius to work. They can't just be like every week we're gonna get together as a team of 10 people decide who's gonna get eliminated. It's like no, the game can't work like that. Someone has to lose.
And also you're just like even more than just the education, like the entertainment factor. It's also just like, man, it's shitty to be like, okay, well, thanks, like, good job, everybody. Steve, you're done. Like, what? Why? What did I do?
Oh,
nothing. We just
needed,
you know, it's time for somebody to die. So bye.
Right. That's like a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. It would create such a toxic atmosphere, I think. So it's really for the better of everyone that Songmin, Gura, and Sungyu took the other side.
Right.
And then the one other moment is it turns out Pung cooperates because it's the second written promise of the show where they, like, press gang him into a room and, like, basically hold him in a chair and make him sign a piece of paper that he's not going to betray them. They go so hard with the peer pressure this episode. It's unreal.
I mean, they have to at this point. Like, one of the most fun things about the first half is that... they now know each other and their strategies well enough that they can just be like, oh, this guy's going to... They already know what each other are going to do because everyone has been around each other for 3 weeks. So they all know each other's strats and it's just, yeah, it ends up being a lot of like, oh, we're going to make this guy do this because he sucks for this reason.
Yep, pretty much.
Oh, I honestly like this first half a lot. Do you have any other or notes on it?
No, I think we can get to it. So Kyungran wins. Congrats, Alan, on your four garnets.
Thank you.
And then she picks Sungyu as a loser. Because it's like they're going for like a weakest link strategy, right? It's like, well, everybody sees Sungyu as being kind of dumb, and like Songmin's a goof, but he's clearly smart, and everybody's kind of scared of Gura, so nobody wants to take them to the DM. And they're like, okay, so we're marking Sungyu, and then we're going to give immunity to Changhyup, because probably Sungyu is going to go for the DM with Changhyup, right?
Correct.
And Sungyu just, like, without hesitation, is like, okay, Minsu, I want Teacher Cha. It's like,
ooh.
Oh, shit. Like, Minsu saw it coming. Minsu's like, they're going to be pissed. They're going to go for me. And everybody else in the alliance was like, no. They're going to be too scared of you. No one's going to mess with you. That's like, this was Minsu's strategy. Minsu won this game for Kyungran, and now he's going to the DM.
And now, and again, the fact that he, you know, spoilers, does not win makes it kind of sad.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal.
Sungyu being like, Sungyu's the other person, that, just to remind me, that's the other person that goes to the DM, correct?
Yes.
Him being like, oh no, the reason I chose Teacher Cha is because he's the best opponent and I want a good opponent because I'm a man is like complete bullshit. Like you had a strategy and you went with it. There's nothing about this like masculinity.
Well, and there's also a little bit of the I'm a man, but there's also just like the, and also if I want to win, he has to go home at some point. Let's kind of nip this in the bud, right?
Right.
Like
yeah.
This is my shot. So before he causes us any more trouble. And also, like, you know, he talked to Gura and Songmin, and they're both like, listen, they keep teaming up because Minsu is, like, the core, like, the emotional intellectual core of that group. If
yeah.
you take him down, they won't be able to ally as easily. So it's like, okay, that all makes sense. Before we get into our deathmatch, Alan.
Hi.
You made me play a thing.
You could call it playing. Yeah, you could do that.
I could, you know. You went with me on this one, which I appreciate. We took a brief dip into the world of Second Life, which I had never played before. What made you pick Second Life?
It was a couple of things. I read Snow Crash a couple of years ago for a college course about like sci-fi worlds, and the main like thesis of that course was like, you know, a lot of media will tell us now that we should be afraid of like detaching from our bodies and becoming like jacking into the Matrix essentially, and that, like losing our humanity to that. But really, there are like positive, beautiful things to be achieved if we can like just invest ourselves into a different unit, into the virtual world.
Sure.
And I really like that virtual world in Snow Crash. And I was just like, man, like I've heard VR chat is kind of a close thing to that, in that it's just an unregulated mess. And if they regulated it, it could be really cool right now. But neither of us has VR headsets because we're not fucking rich. So, I mean, Second Life, it's been around for like a decade. And I just want to like be in an online world with you. And it's got
you
the
just want to experience that beauty of detaching your soul and sending it into a game in Second Life.
And it was and I know this is like I want your opinion on this, but like it was everything I wanted. Exact to a T.
I guess that makes me question what you wanted, because I might what did you want? What did you want,
just
Alan?
Hell. Just just straight hell.
Okay, then, yeah, okay, I agree with you. It was everything that we wanted.
Like, the fact that it didn't work well, and that nothing made any sense, and that the whole call was us just being like, how do I do this? Where am I? Where are you? Are you here? What? I'm flying. There's a giant pizza? Why is everyone naked? Oh, I can buy a ball gag here. What's going on?
It was just like... So here are the things that I've like, sort of heard about Second Life. It's like, okay... It's like 100% like frozen lemonade concentrate horny.
Yeah.
It is like it runs terribly.
Mm-hmm.
It controls weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of an incoherent mess. And I kind of figured a lot of this was just like people who didn't like it, or like who saw like meme videos like fucking, you know, like dunking on it. And it's like, no, this is all completely true. This is just like horny gibberish. And it's... It's a lot.
It's condensed internet.
No.
Well,
it's not.
Why not?
Because, like, nobody's making jokes. Nobody's making, a connection. No one's arguing. All anyone's doing is hovering around while, like, having the avatar of a big titty lady. It's nothing. And I'm sure there are, like, listen, we did not get far in. We dipped our toes in the pool. I'm sure there are corners of Second Life where people are having deep conversations about how horny they are. And good for them. But, like, it's nothing.
I can't believe this, but I don't agree there. Like, the idea of a bunch of people, taking these like weird default avatars and then like contorting them to be these like licensed characters and like spending real money to make them look extremely big tittied, and then using that power and all, it's like we gave them the greatest, most high fidelity virtual space in the world. You can do everything you want in here. What do people do? They stand around and just like type into text chat nonsense and like play loud music from like illicit sources. Like there's just something that's so like honest about that. Like it isn't trying to be the perfect like utopia internet world. It's just what the players bring to it, which like you said is kind of nothing. It's kind of just like it.
Huh.
It's just like, here's your brain. What do I want to do in this world? I just kind of want to hang out around here. In a way that I don't think is cynical though. Like I think there's just something really artistic about that and beautiful. I never thought I would be getting emotional thinking about Second Life. But the idea that we walked in and I spawned in as a big angel with big boobies, and that was the default avatar. I did not customize my character. And you were like a cool cat girl, I believe? Or are you like a demon
girl?
I was
a witch with a cat on my shoulder.
Hell yeah. These are, again, default characters, and we just go in, and then Six spawns into, like, virtual London, and it's just chaos. And like you said, it just runs like garbage. Like, I have a pretty good gaming PC, and I was getting like 10 frames, little, maybe usually less. I'm like, why did they make, like, why does this exist the way it does? Why? I'm just so fat. I want to play more of it.
I feel like it's, okay, so you said it's like concentrated internet, and I guess what I would say is it's like, it's concentrated. Can I use this as a touchstone? Can I get away with this? It's concentrated Counter-Strike 1.6 internet. It's that era of internet where like everything's low res and runs like shit, and everyone is like holding their headset up to a fucking like stereo to play like some fucking, you know, like
Europop.
Yeah, or just like, you know, I'm trying to think of some
Cascada every time we touch.
Yeah, just some garbage,
like,
right?
LimeWire free music.
Exactly. It's like, it's not just, it's concentrated internet. It's concentrated old internet in a way that's so strange.
Yes.
It's so strange because it is like, okay, so horny has been with us forever. We fucking knew that one. But it's just like, I feel like there is a direct line from Second Life to VR chat.
Without a doubt, yeah.
What that says, like, how things have changed says so much. It's like, VR chat is so much more interested in anime bullshit and in smaller, more concentrated spaces with more, like, distinct rules but also greater, like, range of expression and motion. And it's, like, it's less systemic, but it's more customizable. And it's just, like, it's really fascinating as a microcosm of how the way people use the internet has changed. Like, you go into Second Life and you're going to like fly up to a rooftop and see some like a naked furry, like, you know, fucking, you know, twerking. And it's like, okay, rock on. I'm glad you're having a good time. And you go into fucking VR chat and you're going to have like dickheads with anime little girl avatars trolling you. And it's like, this is how the internet has changed. It kind of hasn't, but it kind of has.
But amongst those two, which one would you rather experience? Which one would you rather spend your time in?
A quiet room. Quiet room.
I just think Second Life has, and the other thing is that, like, your point about it being very old internet is another reason that I really liked it, is because I spent a ton of time on that early internet, with things running like crap. Like, I definitely tried playing Second Life at some point in the early 2000s, and I watched like the Hulu documentary from like 10 years ago about it. So I've like known about it culturally for so long, and I played RuneScape when I was in elementary school, like in terms of like people standing around in a square asking each other what there is to do, and then like someone just is dancing and saying like, join me on Ventrilo or something. It's just that again, except way more customizable and with no artifice of aesthetic of its own. Like, the Second Life aesthetic is not anything. It is not bound to one genre. It is just like Sonic the Hedgehog with gigantic feet.
It is a game built purely out of mods, basically. There's no coherent anything. Yeah, I guess, I mean, I would if I had to pick, I would pick Second Life, because for all its weirdness and, like, its interest in things that do not interest me, it feels, like, not innocent, but it lacks a malice.
Exactly.
That the modern internet often has more of, I think.
It's not people yelling at each, like you said, it's not people arguing at each other or like fighting. It's just like, because Second Life does not have a huge audience now. It probably has like, I would probably say maybe around a million. I have no realistic idea how many people play Second Life, but it's definitely not huge and not like it used to be. So the people that are still there are all just kind of like, oh, this is like where I spend my time. You know, by day I work and then I come here and then I'm just a cat. I just want to be a cat and I want to talk to my friends and I'm their pet kitten. You know,
but like, and like, but also like as the computer voice told us many times, we were at the hub of Second Life, right? London.
Right.
And like, there were quite a few people around and like, nobody bothered us at all. Nobody like cared mostly. people just sort of like, oh, you're doing your own thing, that's cool. That wouldn't have happened in VR chat.
Right, we would have gotten, like, yelled at, or, like, someone would have, like, played a meme into our speakers or something.
Yeah.
And, like, Second Life has that. Like I said, we limit ourselves to 30 minutes because we have lives, but there is so much more to it. Like, I've seen videos of Second Life where it's, like, people make spaces that look like houses made in The Sims explicitly for them to discuss politics as in-game avatars that are versions of themselves. That's a real mm-hmm. thing. And then there's also, like, you know, theme parks where people go to, like, and you can go into first person and pretend it's like a real theme park. And then there's also, like, a sex dungeon where you can have, like, you can buy realistic sex animations and get, like, and pay for, like, a virtual prostitute. Like, it's all there. And it's just so widespread that when you go to a hub, it's just the weird, like, collision of all of those different ideas. And, you know, there's also, like, somebody role-playing a video game character, and that's all there at once, and it's just so unique. It is so itself.
A dude walked by, and I say a dude, and I say walked, to give this sentence structure, when they were a fighter jet. And it's just like, that's ridiculous and kind of incoherent, but also there's something special about that.
Yeah, the fundamental, like, ludic language of Second Life is you can walk, and you can fly. Which, first of all, I don't even need to start talking about how amazing that is, but it also conveys the fact that, like, you can be anything and you can within this game, but you can still walk and fly. Mm-hmm. We are not limited by ground or gravity in this game. We are not limited by shape or form, or by identity, or by color, or size, or anything. Everything can walk and everything can fly. If you're a fighter mm-hmm. jet, if you're a cat, if you're a gigantic testicle, you're all, everything is there, everything just can exist in the same space. Did you like it?
No.
Okay.
But it was interesting. I mean, like, listen, I'm going back to Dota, right? Don't fucking get it twisted.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a surreal, interesting field trip, and I guess I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. I will probably try it, like, one or two more times, just to, like, see. I want to, like, run into one of those communities. I want to find the isolated communities that are living their lives in Second Life. But am I going to, like, devote time or money to it? Absolutely not. No, it's mm-hmm. this game is not very relevant in 2018. It's just, it was, like, a cool thing to look at with you.
Yeah. I am going to say, however, you're not getting your Garnet for this one.
That's fair.
Like, listen, I can be generous, but that's, you know, I don't think I can in good faith say I liked Second Life enough to give you a Garnet for that.
What if we found a room in Second Life where people were just playing out the genius?
That would be incredible!
If I find that, can I get the Garnet?
Yes. Yes, okay, I will retroactively give you the Garnet.
All right.
You know what? Actually, so I can't give you the Garnet for,
We're inventing rules on the spot right now, people. Hello.
No, we're not. I'm observing the rules, which is that this segment's about to end and I'm not giving you the Garnet, and I can't retroactively go back and change that. That's not how this works. But if you want to make a wager about whether or not you can find that.
Oh, interesting. No, I don't know. It's such an obscure show. Like, it's such a low chance.
So what kind of odds would you want to find on that?
Should I choose not to bet on it? Because I have a lot of garnets right now, and I'm scared.
Of course you can choose. Of course you can defy the name of the show and coward.
No, I'll wager something this week, no doubt. I mean, I want to wager on the person winning the next game, because I already know who it is.
Do you?
I do. Side note, do I actually? No, I don't actually. I'm just being coy.
Okay, because I don't even remember, so I don't know. That'd be tricky. Okay, all right. Well, I think that's it for homework this week.
Fantastic.
Let's talk about our deathmatch.
Deathmatch. It's tactical, Yutnori.
Yeah, do you want to introduce this one, Alan?
I don't know if I can. I mean, I'll read your description of the rules.
I wrote it. I should probably read it, because it kind of was... Most of... Peek behind the curtain, folks. You get notes... Like, Let's Go Music Boys. These notes were written for me. They don't necessarily make sense to anyone else.
I like you, Tactics Boys, but no deal. You gotta lose. Like, what?
Well, we'll get there. Very soon. So, Tactical Yutnori is a 2-versus-2 version of the Korean board game Yutnori, which, of course, we're both Americans. We don't know that game.
At all.
So we'll talk about the basics we need to understand this DM. We're not going to sit here and explain the rules of Yutnori, because, frankly, we don't need to. Like, it's not really that relevant to how this turns out.
Right.
But basically, instead of rolling dice to move like you would in a lot of Western board games, in Yutnori, you throw sticks, which, like, you know, have different, like, there's sort of like a dark and like a marked and unmarked side, and in total it basically acts like rolling dice. But in this 2-versus-2 version, there's no chance involved. Everyone picks basically what side they're throwing, and the combination is what you've rolled. And so the mind game is like, okay, you are trying to anticipate what your opponent is going to, like, want, what they're looking for, and what pieces they'll pick, and you want to try and counteract it, and there's, you know, sort of this big old mind game, right?
Yeah.
Your objective is to take two of your pieces and get them around the board safely to win. And it's time to pick partners. The way this is going to work is, You have a partner, like the deathmatch contestants Minsu and Sungyu, each have a partner. The partner is going to have a garnet on the line. If they win, they get a bonus garnet. If they lose, they lose a garnet. So get a little skin in the game. Sungyu picks, of course, his music industry senpai, Sangmin. And Minsu picks Jinho, our favorite StarCraft player. So that's why we have these lines. I'm rooting for Team Music Boys, Sungyu and Songmin, the music industry divas.
Music Boys and Tactics Boys. That's good.
You know, Minsu is a professional, like, poker and Go player. So he's a tactic boy, and Jinho plays StarCraft. He's a tactic boy. So It's music versus tactics. And I like everyone involved in this DM. These are all, like, people I like a lot. But it's like, I gotta listen. Songmin, Sungyu, you even get behind me on that, right? That's a team.
That's a good team. I'll give you that. It's my second fave and your fave. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So this is a game basically of, psychological mind games and stuff, and then also subtle communication, because you're sitting across the table from your opponent, so you really don't have any privacy, and you have to be pretty careful with how you communicate what you're going to do.
Right, communication ends up being a lot of, like, covering my mouth or covering my hand or just, like, saying something and not meaning it. Like, you get a lot of funny moments where they're like, but Songbae, like, if you choose this, it's going to be bad. If you choose the thing you just showed me, then it'll be good. Very, like, kind of silly about it, because they know
that
they can't be very explicit about anything.
And the early going is brutal. Minsu is just fucking sweeping the board. He's just kicking ass.
Yeah.
And then it sort of comes out in a revelation. Sungyu is like, Songmin's about to pick a thing, and Sungyu's like, Senpai, that would be like, that's a super bad call. And he's like, have you played Yutnori before? It kind of like says it like a joke. And Songmin's like, listen. It's like, you haven't played Yutnori before? Oh my god.
Every Korean has played Yutnori. What are you doing?
Why did I pick you? We're so done. And there's, like, you know, the little confessional where he's like, if he wasn't my son, I'd be fucking done with this guy.
Yeah.
But they start to rally. Sungyu pulls, like, a big comeback and sort of ties things up. And he gets so excited, he, like, hops out of his chair and walks over to the big board and is sort of, like, pacing and, like, pawing at the board. Like, yes, yes, it's all coming together.
Just cackling.
He's so excited. It's very good. And it's sort of back and forth until finally at the very end, Sungyu manages to pull out the big win.
My man.
And that means, of course, that Teacher Cha is going home. It's a bummer. He's a really good presence for the show. He delivered that good exposition, which was always helpful. Just seemed like a really good dude. And this is, of course, when we get the cut to what they've been teasing at ad breaks, which is Kyung-ran, you know, crying. Because she's just upset, like, Minsu is the reason she was able to win that main match. And he said, like, they're going to come after me. And nobody believed him. They were like, no, you'll be fine. And they were wrong. And it got him sent home. And it's like, you gave me this victory. and I really enjoyed working with you. You seemed like a really good person. I would love to do something again. And I'm really sorry that I let you down. And thanks for everything. And it's a really good moment. It's really nice.
I had two notes on that, on this whole final couple of scenes. One was that, I guess they've been doing this every time, but I didn't really pick up on the fact that everyone gets to watch the DM from another room on like a CCTV or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you get to see people being like, does he know he's going to lose? Like, it seems like Teacher Cha is like playing the long game here. Like, he's got this, right? And then like literally right before he loses, they're like, oh, he knows. Oh, he's out. He's out and he knows he's out. Mm-hmm. And it's like really, it like emotionally it tries to prepare you for it, but it's still like a big hit of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then my second note was just that losing Teacher Cha this early is a really big play for, I guess, the producers of the show, whoever, like, or just the pacing of the season, because it's like him and Gura have already established themselves as like leader types, or at least like mm-hmm. strategists, and losing one of the key people who's doing that, like, just shakes things up in like a it's like, you know, taking out the king.
Yeah.
Of one of two warring countries, and it's just like, well, now what? Now we just have a bunch of people who wanted to follow somebody else's orders, and they have to like carve out their own goals now. And that's like really mm-hmm. interesting for the season.
And I feel like, and I'm not, I have seen episode 4, right? The next episode is the last episode I've seen. I don't remember it well enough to remember how things shake out as far as like alliances and stuff, but like, it doesn't feel like, you know, like, so you had the two kings and Teacher Cha's going home, and it's not like everyone's like, okay, I guess we're all with Gura now. It's like, nope, that's not how this is going to go.
No, right, exactly.
there's going to be a new king, or maybe there will be no kings at all. I don't know. And I really want to find out. I'm really excited. I also want to point out real quick that Exposition Cha, when he's you know, he realizes he's lost, he is like the most graceful in defeat. He's smiling, he's waving, he's really like so respectful. Like, you know, Sung Yu pops up and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, you played really well. That was really good.
Yeah,
like,
you played, man, oh.
What a fucking, like, you may have lost, but man, you're a fucking winner. What a good show.
Yeah, the fact that got me emotionally was like, yay, I'm invested. This is so good. I love it when shows get you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like this show has been exciting before now, for sure, but this was the first moment where I was like, oh, I didn't even realize how much I cared about these people. Wow.
I don't know how casting is going to work for future seasons, but I hope they bring him back.
At least in some context.
Yeah.
Even if he's not playing,
I
mean, or something, you know?
I would love to see him play again, but also, I mean, oh, what if he was one of the hosts next time?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hell yeah.
Someone asks, like, wait, can we trade cards? And he says, well, it's very simple.
It's very simple, and then everyone who's watched the previous ones just cries.
Oh, God.
If this show needs anything, it's just really complex continuity.
What if the lore just was super complicated?
Yeah.
Wait, why are they here?
Yeah,
what's happening to the world outside?
Who made this house?
So,
well, next week is the zombie game, if I'm not mistaken.
It is the zombie game.
That sounds theoretically exciting.
I recall it being a very fun episode.
That's good. I only watched the preview at the end where it was just like, one person's a zombie, and if they touch someone else, then they become a zombie. And I was like, I really hope this involves people running around chasing each other. I know it doesn't. It's going to be like tactical decisions of who touches whom, but
There's like a touching booth.
Okay.
It has to be consensual.
Okay. All right. Cool. That's.
I know that was a weird phrasing, but listen, it's okay.
It's a weird
show.
It's
like you both put your hands on an orb.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's like,
zombies
okay,
work.
You're good. Yeah. No, it's fine. It's totally fine. But it's like, it's a good, I remember some things from this episode, and we got some good shit coming. And then after that, I don't know anything about anything, and that's great. I'm excited to not know things. I don't remember who wins the next one. Do you want to make some wagers? Do you want to make some bets? Do you
want to
roll the dice?
No, I'm ready to. Oh, actually, can we roll dice?
Sure. What do you want to roll dice about?
Can I roll a D10? And then we'll assign each player to a number, and then I put my wager on that person.
Okay, so we need to break this down.
Okay.
First off, what happens if we both pick a number and neither of them are winners?
Shit.
Those garnets are just gone? Because that's fine if those garnets are just gone.
I mean, yeah, deflation, we have the odds are fair enough at this point that you're very likely, if two of us do it, we have that's a one-fifth chance of somebody winning. Right?
Second question. Okay. Yes. Second question. Okay. What, how much, can we choose how much we're wagering?
Yes.
Third question, can we choose how much we're wagering after we find out who we're wagering on?
No, no way. Absolutely not.
Oh, no!
I'm betting all my garnets. I just think I lost. I bet one garnet, so I bet half a garnet.
Let me pull up the cast and assign numbers.
Also, remind me how many garnets each of us has right now.
Don't do this to me on air.
It has to be said eventually. People are going to forget. I forgot.
I'm keeping track somehow. I have, like, I think I have 34.
Okay.
And you have...
more than that.
Oh, wait, no, I have got 30 because I gave you 4. I think you have 16.
Okay.
I will edit those numbers, but with in editing, with the voice stuff, you'll hear it right, listeners. If I'm incorrect, I'll correct it. But that should be in the right ballpark, I think. So, I was pretty far off. I was decently far off. The actual totals at the moment are that 6 has 28 and Alan has 15. And I should really do a better job of keeping track of this stuff. I should really have it somewhere more easily accessible. Anyway. So, are you ready for some numbers?
Extremely ready.
Okay, so 1 is Pung, 2 is Sungyu, 3 is Kyungran, 4 is Jungmoon, 5 is Yuram, 6 is Jinho, 7 is Gura, 8 is Chungyeop, 9 is Yunji, and 10 is Songmin. Can you roll for yourself first, Alan, and also state before you roll how much you are wagering?
So I have 16?
Yes.
I'm going to wager 4 garnets.
You're betting against the bank in this instance.
Okay.
Okay, so you're 4 garnets.
Yes.
4 garnet wager.
And I'm going to hit roll 1d10 into Google, and it's going to give me a
number. Wait.
Okay.
No, stop.
Yeah.
Hang on. I'm going to take off my headset just for a second here. I'm back.
Was I supposed to have rolled in that time?
No. You were supposed to have waited for me to procure my jade and gold text D10, which I will now roll on mic.
Oh, okay. All right. I love it.
Okay. Let me lean a little closer so we can hear this right. Here's for Alan. That's a 5. 5 is Yuram.
All right. I believe in her.
Okay. You got 4 garnets down on Yuram. So now it's going to be... we're betting against the bank, so I guess there's no problem if we bet on the same person, but I'll re-roll if I get a 5. I'll bet 5 garnets.
Okay.
Here we go. Big money, big money. 9. I am betting on Yunji.
Okay, excellent.
That is not necessarily the number I wanted. I wanted Songmin. Because he's my boy. I don't know if he wins, but he's my boy. I wanted to have his back. But all good contestants, all good bets, all clarified next time when we find out who won and who lost on this episode of World of
War. I ate the host.
Alan.
Hi.
Is your phone okay? Is your phone low battery or anything?
No.
You don't need a charge? We're in the plug zone. You can charge your shit.
I got it as you were saying it. You're the worst. Yeah, I could use a plug real quick.
Go for it.
Okay, so hi, I'm Alan. I'm on Twitter. If you want to follow me and find out all the stuff that I'm doing, I'm at Alan Ibrahim on there. It's a long name, so here's how you spell it. It's AllenIbrahim. And I'm on 2 other podcasts currently. One is Chats, a television podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. It's a TV discussion show where my friend Majan and I watch TV and discuss it. We've been doing it for a while now. We're watching HBO is the newsroom. It's a bad program. Check it out. Check us out being fun. If you want more of my voice, you can hear me on Fireside Friends, which is a monthly pop culture and friendly discussion podcast that I do with Ryan and Katie over at firesidefriends.net. Coming soon, at the end of March, actually, we're going to be discussing the anime Sanrio Boys, which is very cute. So check those things out. What about you, Girl. Six?
So I have four other shows at the moment. I say at the moment because I possibly will have two more shows before. I need to stop. I need to be stopped. But for the moment, we have two monthly shows. We have Neutral Game, which is a fighting podcast I do every month with a friend of mine, Miodrag. He's also a game developer, so he has some good insights on game design for fighting games and such. And we also have Novel Not New, which is a Abnormal Mapping Network podcast where I, Jen, and M, who is an Abnormal Mapping host, talk about visual novels. We're releasing an episode very soon on Butterfly Soup. And then after that, we'll be doing one on Danganronpa V3. And we're going to have a conversation about that one. And then I have three weekly podcasts. One of them is this one, so I don't need to tell you about that one. But I also have Oops All Anime, which is a patron-only podcast you can catch at patreon.com/scanlinemedia for $1 a month. We talk about anime with various guests, sometimes including Alan.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good show.
We also have Bottle Crow Reborn, which is my Dota podcast with my friend Nick. We talk about Dota and the Dota pro scene and stuff related to... It's basically just Dota. Do you like Dota? You should check it out. Do you not like Dota? You should probably not check it out. That's a bad pitch, but here we are.
It's a Bottle Crow. It's a bird inside of a glass.
Well, it's actually a reference to the Dota 1 technique called bottle crowing, which is you have an item called the bottle and you put it on the crow and the crow refills it for you. It's a thing.
I am a Dota gamer. I know these things.
Oh, you're a hardcore gamer, huh?
Yep. You could say that. I should have known.
All right, folks. We'll catch you next week for episode 4 of season 1. Don't watch season 2 yet. I mean, we can't, but...
We're not allowed to, it's illegal.
This is illegal, you know. Peace out.
Bye.